Welcome to ID the Future, a podcast about intelligent design and evolution.
Hello, I'm Beatrice Russo with ID the Future, your guest host for today. In this episode, we're continuing the discussion we started in a previous episode with Dr. Meyer. And specifically, we will continue to talk about the questions that were asked at the summer seminar and also talk about Dr. Meyer's upcoming new book. Welcome to the show again, Dr. Meyer.
Thanks for interviewing me.
So during the lectures and also during the Q&A panel session that you had with the students, have you received any interesting or challenging questions from the students? And what did you think of the questions that you got?
Well, I thought this was an exceptionally bright group. We say this every year that the students just keep getting better and better. And I shouldn't say that they were better this year than the year before because you were in the class the year before. But it was, you know, it's so exciting because we have students from all over the world, from Brazil and South Africa and different European countries. And 2 years ago, we had, we had someone this year from mainland China. And so it's very exciting from that standpoint. We also have such an interdisciplinary mix. So for the biology lecture, I had lots of good questions from biologists about one challenging question is, where exactly is this epigenetic or ontogenetic information stored? And I referred students to one of the chapters in my book that discusses the sources of information of which we know that do not reside in the DNA. But I also acknowledge this is an open question in biology. We know that DNA has necessary information that is not sufficient to build a whole animal body plan. We know of other places where the information is stored, for example, in the sugar molecules or the lipids. But we don't know of all those sources yet. So that's an active area of research. I think the most challenging thing about the lecture on cosmology was that there were some physics and math people that were tracking, but I saw some perplexed looks on the faces of the biology students, so we had to kind of break some of that down a little bit more and just provide some background information on wave-particle duality, where quantum mechanics came from, what the Schrodinger equation is, and then how that all got applied by the physicists, not to just examining what light or electrons do when they go through double slits, but how it got applied to the early universe. And so it was a little bit heady, but I got some very good questions and good comments. And then a really spirited, both days, spirited discussions over lunch. So the summer seminar is, I think it's a high for a lot of students who come, but it's a high for us because we, you know, we'll be burrowing away on our research projects, and then we surface and we get to share all this with people who are interested. And so it was very good sessions.
That's wonderful. Yeah, the summer seminars are absolutely very, very lively and very engaging and very, very informative. So it's been a very good time. Tell us about the work that you're involved in currently. So it sounds like you are working on a book titled The Return of the God Hypothesis. So what is your book about and why did you choose this title?
Right. Well, as you know, my first two books were on the evidence for design in biology. Signature in the Cell was concerned with the origin of the information that would be needed to build the very first cell. It was concerned about address the question of the origin of life and the origin of the information needed to build it. The second book was about the Cambrian explosion that we've already discussed a bit. And again, the evidence for design in the information that arises during the Cambrian and other similar periods in the history of life where there's a massive leap forward in biological form, where you get a lot of biological novelty, which would require new information. And so in both of those books, I argued that the information necessary to build new forms of life would require an intelligent input of information. And, you know, we talked a bit about the argument for that in our previous discussions. But the question I got after both books was, okay, you've established that there's evidence of a mind of some kind that would be necessary to account for the origin of the information needed to build new forms of life. But what kind of a mind is that? Is that a mind within the cosmos? Is it an immanent intelligence? Immanent meaning within the cosmos? Is it a space alien? Or is it a transcendent mind, a mind that is beyond the cosmos, something like God? And so I've been asked that repeatedly and also asked the question, and what can science tell us about that question? So I've been thinking about this for 35 years, and I thought maybe it was time to write on that topic. And I've specifically for a long time thought that the space alien designer hypothesis didn't make a lot of sense. It's a logical possibility because life arises well after the beginning of the universe. So it could be that there's some designing mind that arose between the beginning of the universe and the origin of life on Earth that may have played a role. But I don't think that's a very good explanation. I've never thought it was a very good explanation for a couple reasons. One, the designing mind, an imminent designer, just pushes the question of the origin of information back one step without really addressing the fundamental reason that we have been unable to account for the origin of life on Earth as a result of undirected chemical processes. So a number of the scientists who first proposed this idea, it was called panspermia, were well aware that planet Earth wasn't a very good place to get life started, the atmospheric conditions were wrong, and they were well aware of the complexity of the cell. And so they posited, well, maybe there was a designing agent in the outer space who seeded life on Earth, and after it oversaw or was part of the process of the creation of life someplace else. But that hypothesis never addressed the real underlying fundamental question, which
is... like you're extrapolating the problem and you're...
Just push it back one generation without really addressing the underlying issue, which is where does the information come from? Mm-hmm. And that's one reason I thought it was an inadequate explanation. The second reason was that there's also evidence of design at the very beginning of the universe. And that's the evidence that is often referred to as the fine-tuning evidence or the anthropic fine-tuning evidence that physicists have been seized with since the 1950s and 60s. All these different parameters that are just right to allow for the possibility of life, the strength of the different constants in the laws of physics, the ratio of the strengths of the forces of the fundamental laws, the masses of the different elementary particles and their ratios one to another, and the fine-tuning of the initial conditions of the universe, the configurations of mass energy way back at the beginning. Turns out all of these things had to be just right in order for life to be possible, and they're exquisitely finely tuned within extremely narrow tolerances. And that, to many physicists, has for a long time suggested a fine-tuner, that there was an intelligence beyond the universe responsible for that initial fine-tuning at the very beginning. Now, clearly, no space alien can explain that. No agent within the cosmos can explain the structure of the laws of physics that act upon it. An agent might move mass and energy around, but the agent would have to do it in accord with the laws of physics that applied to that mass and energy and applied to itself. So the evidence of fine-tuning has suggested to me for a long time the need for not just intelligent design, but a transcendent intelligent designer, a designer who has the attributes that, for example, Jews and Christians have always ascribed to God. And so I think that piece of evidence, plus the evidence we have from cosmology for a definite beginning to the universe, I think suggests in toto the possibility of a God hypothesis. And that's what I've developed in the new book.
So why do you call it, per se, the return?
It invites a story. And the story is this, that what we call modern science arose during the period of roughly 1300 to 1700 in Western Europe. It really got going between about 1500 and 1700 with figures like Kepler and Galileo and Robert Boyle and Sir Isaac Newton. And these early founders of modern science were devout Christians, mostly, all believed in God. And they also brought aspects of their worldview to bear in thinking about the natural world. They all thought that nature was intelligible because it had been made by a rational creator who had designed it to be understood by his creatures, namely us. And that we, being made in the image of God, also had a form of his intelligence, that we had the same kind of rationality that God had and that God had built into the world. So we could understand the design and the order that had been built into nature if we studied it carefully. And that was one of the key inspirations for science. And then the same founders of modern science, having approached the natural world in this new way, began to find evidence as well of intelligent design, the design they believed or that they attributed to God. And so the God hypothesis at the foundation was an inspiration for science in its modern manifestation in Western Europe. And it was also confirmed by discoveries that the scientists were making. And so it provided kind of the framework for science for the early century, the first centuries of science, modern science. But then it was eclipsed in the 19th century, in the early 20th century, by scientific materialism, a more materialistic worldview. And so the book addresses really phase three of that historical story, which is the return of the God hypothesis as more and more new evidences concerning especially biological and cosmological origins are pointing once again to the need for an intelligent designer who has attributes of transcendence as well as intelligence, and therefore has the attributes that traditional theists have always ascribed to God.
Well, I really look forward to the book and wanted to ask you, is it available to be pre-ordered?
It is available. It's on Amazon and I think some of the other booksellers, but right now it's up on Amazon, I know, because they just announced the release date of April 21st, 2020. We're pretty well done with all the chapters. The book's undergone an extensive interdisciplinary peer review because the book addresses issues in the history of science, the philosophy of science, cosmology, physics, astronomy, biology, biochemistry, molecular biology, and a few other ologies or isms. And so I've farmed out different chapters to experts in our wider network, and I can tell you that each of the chapters has been improved by that process. It's an iron sharpening iron thing. So anyway, we're nearly done with that peer review, and we'll get into copy editing soon. So the book's on schedule, on target for next April.
Sounds good. It sounds like if I read your book, I should now be versed in all the disciplines you just mentioned. Right?
Well, there's a little bit of it for everyone. You may remember that the way I like to write these books is, part of it is to satisfy my own curiosity about different things that you hear about in science and philosophy over the years. So what I like to do is I like to put the bottom rung on the ladder low enough that an educated layperson can learn the science that's needed to understand the arguments. And I try to do that in every chapter. So each one tells a story and does a little science teaching along the way.
Thank you. Thank you. And that concludes today's episode. Dr. Meyer, thank you for your great insights. We will continue the discussion in another episode where I will ask Dr. Meyer to provide practical advice to students in the sciences. And that's it for ID the Future. This has been Beatrice Russo, and thank you for listening.
This program was recorded by Discovery Institute's Center for Science and Culture. ID the Future is copyright Discovery Institute. For more information, visit intelligentdesign.org and idthefuture.com.